إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، واعلموا أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The last segment of this introduction is one which many have memorized but few understand. It is sad that people repeat words like parrots, just like a parrot. You tell him, he tells you. He repeats what you say, but he understands not. And it is not a few individuals among the Muslims. Had it been the case, that would be great. But the truth of the matter is, most Muslims don't understand that. I'm not being pessimistic, nor am I being negative. I'm being realistic and truthful. They love to say it. Every innovation leads astray. Let me go to the beginning. The best speech is the speech of Allah, the Quran. And the best guidance is that of a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best guidance, not of anybody else, not of Mawlana, not of Sheikh, not of Allama, not of Waliullah Fulan and Fulan. No. The best guidance is that of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Not that of Abu Bakr, not that of Umar, not that of Uthman, not that of Ali, with the honor and the virtue which they have. Still, the best guidance is that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whom Allah has chosen to convey the speech of Allah and the wisdom, and to teach it to the illiterate and the ignorant, so that they may be educated, so that they may be guided, so that they may do that which is pleasing to Allah. Yet, people insist on taking a guidance other than that of the Messenger of Allah, even though he said in the very introduction, and every innovation is misguidance. And every misguidance leads astray. Every dalala finnar will go to the fire. Everything which is astray will not make it to the destination. The destination is Jannah. If you are astray, if you have deviated from that path, you will not make it to the destination. And since there's no other third destination except Jannah or Jahannam, you will be winding up in Jahannam. With the seriousness of this matter, with the fact that this bid'ah, this single bid'ah which one of us may get involved in, is sufficient to send him to the hellfire, it amazes me and it amazes many of you how people insist on celebrating a celebration which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never bothered to discuss with his ummah. Nor did his Sahaba, nor did the Tabi'een, nor did Atba'u Tabi'een. In fact, this whole idea of Mawlid did not come into existence until 350 years after the Messenger of Allah. By who? The Shia. The Fatimites. And what do you know about the Shia and the Fatimites? If you want to deviate from the path of Allah, then believe what they believe and do what they do. Next thing you know, you'll be running in the streets, beating your back with some chains and cutting your head with a sword. As stupid as a human being can be, as ignorant as a human being can be, in the name of Islam, these wicked creatures try to represent us, and they represent none but their father, Iblis. You think it's extreme? Think again. There's no extremism on this minbar. There's no extremism whatsoever. There's a truth, but some people are too soft. Too soft, too gentle, too chicken, too afraid to deal with the truth. So whenever someone conflicts with their desires, they label him as an extremist, even though they themselves are the extremists in their deviance. This is not a matter of ijtihad. So that one alim says it's okay, and the other one says it's not. So you come and say, brother, you know there's ikhtilaf, or there's khilaf, because both words are used. It's a difference of opinion. You know, Sheikh Fulan, Imam Fulan, said that it was okay to celebrate Mawlid. So, because some of the ulama endorsed it, that's fine. No, it is not. Because the Messenger of Allah taught us early on that the best guidance is that of the Messenger of Allah. If he did not do it, and we challenge anyone to prove otherwise, any Muslim in the world, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Produce your proofs and evidences if you are truthful. Tell us, when did the Messenger of Allah say, let us celebrate my birthday? Let us have a festival. So people gather and read the seerah and recite Quran and send the Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and blah blah blah. Assuming that was the only thing happening, assuming that would still be deviance. What about when men and women mix with each other, alcohol is consumed, drugs are being consumed, women singing on the stage, people committing shirk? Shirk. Supposedly, all of a sudden everybody gets up. Why did you get up? The hadra, brother. The hadra of the Messenger of Allah. He just paid us a visit. Ya Sheikh. Ya Sheikh, khaf Allah, Allah yisalhak. Where did you bring that brain of yours from? The Messenger of Allah is going to come from the grave and pay you a visit when you're celebrating an innovative festivity? If you were doing the epitome of the sunnah, he will still not come. Because he's already in the life of the barzakh. He's in that interval life. He has died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like every soul shall die. And he will be the one who will intercede on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we don't deny. He is alive in the barzakh, like every shaheed is alive in the barzakh, like every human being is alive in the barzakh. Y'all know that in the grave, a person is either being entertained with a garden from the gardens of Jannah, or being punished with the pits from the pits of the hellfire in the grave. That means that there is a life in the grave. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a life in the grave, except that the prophets have particular privileges, such as the earth not being allowed to consume their flesh. And the fact that Allah has assigned angels who, whenever you send salat and salam, they deliver it. And in one hadith it says that his ruh is returned to him. Pay attention to the wordings of the hadith. His ruh, his soul is returned to him so he may return the salam. The fact that the soul is being returned indicates that he is not alive like you are alive now. Otherwise, the soul does not have to be returned. The same way your soul doesn't go and come back now while you're alive. We believe all that. And we love him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite the fact that the Mawlid celebrators claim that those who are against the Mawlid don't love him. Wallahi, we love him 50 million times than you would ever love him if you continue to celebrate the celebration. Why? Allah says in the Quran, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. This is a rhetorical question. Allah Azza wa Jal is posing this question so the people can use their minds and their brains and reflect. Or do they have associates? Do they have partners who legislate for them that which Allah did not permit? Yani, are you going to the extreme that you're bringing partners to legislate for you what Allah did not permit? Did Allah permit this mawlid? You cannot find an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to prove yes. Once Allah did not permit it, in fact, Allah made it prohibited to innovate anything in the deen, you bringing any other person to legislate for you is a form of shirk, because Allah said shuraka. Are you bringing partners to legislate for you what Allah did not permit? An ayah that is often quoted in this context, but it is crucial. And it is straight to the point, and it is decisive. And if we were to enumerate the traditions, the ahadith, I doubt I will be presenting anything new to any one of you. Everyone knows the narrations in regards to warning against bid'ah. Everyone knows the hadith in Bukhari of Aisha, and it exists in Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd." Whosoever it is, introduces anything into this affair of ours which is not part of it, shall have it rejected. Allah will not accept. They can celebrate the mawlid night and day, Allah will not accept. Their niyyah is with Allah. We have to be fair and square. Some of them may be ignorant with a good intention. We have no right to go into the intention and say whether Allah will reward the intention or not. It is with Allah. As for the amal, the deed, it's rejected. End of story. This is for those who are ignorant. But the truth of the matter is, many Muslims already know that they shouldn't be doing this bid'ah. But you know what? There's an element of pressure. Culture. Culture. People are afraid of their culture. It is the manifestation of jahiliyyah. This is the very thing the Quraishis had when the da'wah of Tawheed was presented to them. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. They said, he has made all these gods a single god. This is indeed something amazing. It's amazing that there's one ilah. And it is not amazing that there are many. Even though in their fitra, they know la ilaha illallah. Even though in their rububiyya, they know la ilaha illallah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَكُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. They knew that. But now the traditions of the Quraishis, the Meccans, the Arabs back then, this da'wah of Tawheed did not really go harmonious with it. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, what was the last things he said? The last words that came out of his mouth before he died, he said, "Ala millati Abi Abdul Muttalib." I shall remain upon the millah, the way of my ancestors, basically. It wasn't that he didn't know Tawheed. He knew that Islam was the deen of Allah. But he couldn't leave the religion of his ancestors. And many of us are in that same loophole. Today they're afraid. What is my mom going to say? What is my dad going to say? What is my family going to say? How am I going to go back to my home country and say, I lived in Saudi 2 years, I've become a Wahhabi. So, no more mawlid for me. So they're too afraid to confront the people, so they say, Yalla, Yalla, we'll just go with the people and, it's all good. No, Akhi. No, Habibi, you can't do this. This is weak. This is weak. If we all did this, then who will propagate the Sunnah? Who will live up to the Sunnah? Who will teach the people the Sunnah? You have to be strong. You have to face the opposition. And you have to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal perfected this deen. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. On the day of Arafah, this ayah was revealed. This day I have perfected your religion for you. Allah made it perfect. And if you look up the word perfect in any English dictionary, any English dictionary, you will find that the meaning revolves around that which requires no addition and cannot entertain any deletion. Because if you added something, it's no longer perfect. And if you deleted something, it's no longer perfect. Just imagine a cup of water with water to the very tip. If you put some more, it will flow out. If you have it less than that, it will have deficiency in the amount of water. Perfect is it's right there at the rim, right there. You can look at it with a microscope and you see the water is at level with the edge of the cup. That is perfection. Anything besides that is imperfect. And so when Allah perfected this deen and the mawlid was not part of it at the time of perfection, then adding it indicates that Allah did not perfect the religion when he made that statement. And this is exactly what Imam Malik said to those who understand. He said, whatever was not part of the religion then cannot become part of the religion today. If when Allah revealed the ayah that the deen is perfect, that such action was not there, then adding it now is impossible because it cannot be part of the deen. Otherwise, you're claiming that Allah did not perfect the deen. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam betrayed the message. Ala kulli hal, in the second part of the khutbah, inshallah, there will be further elaboration and refutation on this issue. As'alullah li wa lakum al-hidayah wa tawfiq. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. الله عز وجل addresses the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in سورة آل عمران. And in commenting on this ayah before I translated, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, some people alleged that they love Allah. Some people made that claim that they love Allah. So Allah revealed this ayah. And this ayah, the ulama call it ayatu tahaddi, the ayah of challenge, the challenging ayah. Because everyone claims they love Allah. Everyone, every Muslim, even the non-Muslims. If you tell the average disbeliever, besides the atheists who are retarded, but if you ask normal people who believe at least in God, if you tell them you love God, the default answer is yes. And sure enough, and more deserving of that response is a Muslim. Because if you said that you don't love Allah, you have disbelieved. And why would you not love Allah to begin with? Is that something that we have to convince you to do? No. If any one of us took a few minutes to reflect on the blessings of Allah in his life, this is sufficient for you to love Allah. If I gave you this. If you were sweating and I gave you a tissue that is not even my property, every time you see me, you may have some love for me because of a tissue I gave you. Let alone a pen, let alone a mishlah, let alone some clothes, let alone some money, let alone some car. The greater the gift, the more love. The more the love. And this is a human being giving you a property that you will not take with you to the grave. But how about what Allah gave us? It is not a tissue. It is not a car. It is not a wife and children. It is all of that and more and more and more every single day. From the time you are conceived, even before, until the end of time, Allah is the one sustaining every single bounty. So loving Allah is something that we don't need to really discuss now. But Allah made a challenge, ya akhwan. If you truly love Allah, there's something we have to do. And the ayah explicitly says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me. Who is the one commanded to make that address? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is commanded to tell everybody, if you love Allah, follow me. The Messenger of Allah. So, where are we from that? And to what extent do we follow the Messenger of Allah? It is very sad that the Shabab, let alone the elderly, for whatever reason in the world, for whatever reason that just doesn't register, they seem to prefer the way, the style, the methodology, the character of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not even on the list of people whom they follow. Not even on the list. His hairstyle is according to which soccer, cricket, something player. His dress code is according to some artist, singer, loser. His beard, if there is one, is according to the Harley Davidson riders. And when he doesn't have one, then surely that is not the way of the Messenger of Allah. The length of the clothes, according to fashion and style. The way to treat the family, according to culture. The way to eat, according to comfortability and convenience. The amount of food to eat, according to desires, not the sunnah. The way to treat the people, according to one's wishes, and what is more beneficial for him. The way to give da'wah, according to bid'ah and innovation and the ideas of fulan and fulan. That's why screaming during Jumu'ah is a sunnah. Hate me for it. What can I do? You are usually hated for following the sunnah. But screaming in this fashion on Jumu'ah is from the sunnah. Bring me a Christian, I'm not going to scream at him. Then we will follow the sunnah in treating them in a way that will bring them to Islam. So the people see, really, really do not have this idea comprehended. The Messenger of Allah is non-existent on the list of priorities. But we all claim that we love him. And so after all this abandonment, we have the audacity to come and celebrate something in the name of love, in the name of veneration, in the name of respect. What hypocrisy, what lies. What hypocrisy and lies. You find the people that celebrate the Mawlid are the farthest people from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will hardly find their aqidah to be sound, nor their methodology, nor the application of the Sunnah. But you know what it does? It's one of the tricks of the shaitan. One of the tricks of the shaitan, which when someone is guilty, he will give him something to do to make him feel better about himself. That's it. The same idea of celebrating Mother's Day and Father's Day and whatever. A person will ignore his mother all year, and then on Mother's Day he bring her a gift. In other words, shut up. Shut up, mom. At least I thought of you today. Okay? I know I'm a lousy child all year, but I got you a gift. So when he gives her a gift, that makes him feel okay. That justifies his shortcomings. The shaitan tells him, but you gave her a gift on Mother's Day. The other guy didn't. And so someone will be using this wicked path trying to go to Jannah with Allah. It doesn't work. It does not work. So let us stop playing games. There's no mawlid to celebrate. Because it was not from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And if any one of us thinks that he is better than the Sahaba, please present yourself before the crowd. If anyone here claims that he understood Islam, or he understands Islam, or he is a better follower to the sunnah than the Sahaba, we would like to meet this individual. And you will not find a Muslim who will say so. And so the bottom line is, if they didn't do it, why are you? Either you are better. And if you are better, then how could you be doing something which they didn't do? Or you know better than them? How did you come to know the deen more than the Sahaba who were with the Messenger of Allah? This is the logical argument. The logical argument. The Sahaba didn't do it. Ikhwan, we don't do it. The reason why people don't understand, and I will conclude with this inshallah, is because they have not understood the basis of our deen. You know why we have to go through these all the time? We have to convince people not to celebrate Mawlid, and not to celebrate Valentine's, and not to celebrate birthdays, and not to celebrate Christmas, and not. You know why we even in this discussion? You know why the Salaf did not have this discussion? Because they were upon the way of the Salaf. They were the Salaf. And what are the Salaf? The righteous, pious generations. When we understand Islam and apply it like they did, we would not be having this khutbah today. We'll be discussing something which will make you happier than what you heard today. But we're not. But if we understand that, أخي, the Messenger of Allah said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم, the best of mankind is my generation, the Sahaba, then those who come after them, and then those who will come after those. Three generations. None of them celebrated Mawlid. None of them celebrated Mawlid. If you're doing it, you're not upon their way. If you're not upon the way, you fall onto the other hadith that this ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of which will enter the hellfire except one. Who is it, O Messenger of Allah? He was asked. He said, those who are upon what I am today and my companions. When we fall off there, we will land over there with these 72 groups. And with these 72 groups, there's no success. So brothers, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes and contradicts the messenger after the guidance has become clear and follows a way other than that of the believers, we will allow him to take that path, but we will put him in the hellfire, and what an evil abode. So let us revive the way of the righteous predecessors in our lives. Let us go back to the purity, the orthodox understanding of Islam. Let us learn it from the reliable sources and scholars, not the people that our culture venerates and magnifies. Let us go back to the usul, the roots of this deen. When we understand it like they understood it, this discussion will become something that is unimportant. I invite all of you, including myself, to make that change. Because this may not convince you. In fact, nothing can convince you until you change that which is within yourself. Until you change that deviant understanding of Islam, nobody will make sense to you. Because you have been brainwashed. So we need to rid ourselves of these shackles of innovations, and return to the way of the Sahaba, and with that lies success. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم اجعلنا من أتباع سنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من الضلال والبدع اللهم اغفر لنا ولجميع المسلمين وانصرنا على أعدائنا وارحمنا برحمتك يا رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أقم الصلاة